All right, everybody. Good morning. Happy Easter. You guys know the leader response, and hopefully you've been part of churches that already have you queued up, but you guys know Resurrection Sunday, as is presented, I hear, on Ronnie and Allie Smith's chalkboard in their home, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Yeah, the Resurrection Sunday morning that we celebrate at Grace Church every Sunday. So you're welcome back for Easter again next Sunday and the next Sunday and the next Sunday. But we are very happy that you're here. And on our fifth Sunday, so March is one of those five Sunday months. Today is not only Easter Sunday, it's the fifth Sunday of March. It's also Tracy's birthday today. she loves the public attention, man. You want to come up and sing a little special? No? Okay. Karaoke. Name that tune. We'll gladly do it. The more we can get Tracy to blush, the better. I'm all about embarrassing my kids, and I'm not above embarrassing my wife. So, fifth Sundays. So if anybody here who's not a pastor knows the pattern, you get extra jewels in your crown in heaven, because the pastors probably don't even know the pattern. I'm going to hit you with a bunch of them. Let's see if you already knew all of this, you get extra donuts. Not related to Grow, let me give you some patterns. Grace Kids meets in the spring and the fall, February to May, August to November. Same for Rooted. Same for Grow. But Grow, our adult class, only has teaching instruction stuff the first three Sundays of the month. Fourth Sunday, we either, what we did last week, fellowship, hang out, encourage each other in the Lord. Maybe that person you've been meaning to get together with forever, you shoot them a text and say, hey, that 30 or 45 minutes on Sunday, let's just go take a walk in the parking lot or sit in the back of the cafeteria and have a good talk. The fifth Sunday, we bring in our Rooted students, that's today, do some donuts and talk about God's heart for other peoples, gospel spreading near and far, evangelism, missions, church planting, discipling the nations. So that's today. And there's a few people I've asked to come in just a minute and share briefly about a few opportunities that our church is already involved in related to what God's doing in our backyard and across the pond in other nations that he's allowed us to have a little awareness of and a little bit of involvement in. But what I want to do for a few minutes to set the stage before some others come and share with us is try to give you the heart of the heart of the heart of, I believe, the Bible, and therefore our church. I'm not much on the newfangled way that churches do slogans, and we have one. I read a church planting book by a brother I highly respect, happen to know personally, and he said, in his published, You Gotta Pay For It book, your church's vision or mission statement should be, and then the next page is blank. Nothing. Don't buy into gimmick and slogan. And his reason for that is because you're not trying to be unique. Like, you should just say stuff that all churches that know and love Jesus should say. And on one hand, I radically affirm that. You don't need a vision statement or a mission statement. Those are relatively new traditions in church history. Our brothers and sisters in the Reformation weren't doing that. They didn't have websites and little personalized slogans for their church. But to my friend who wrote the book, I asked, if somebody asks one of your members, why does your church exist? What would you want them to say, and why? That's what we're trying to get at in what I'm about to lay before you. Our church does have a vision statement. Our church does have a mission statement. That mission statement is directly related to the four or five people that are going to come up here in just a second and share about some opportunities for prayer and partnership and gospel work. But those vision and mission statements are not an effort to be trendy or clever. They're really an effort to try to consolidate all the material of the Bible into as tight a package as we can say it. There's other faithful ways to say it, but we think this is a way that's faithful to say it. So, why do we exist? And then, how therefore shall we live? Well, that's vision and mission, why we exist and how we live. Vision, mission. Before we dive into this, let me open us in prayer. Father, I pray that the things that we're about to think about for a few minutes would be faithful to your word. And if they're not, would you show us that? Because all we want is to be faithful to you according to your written word and according to your word incarnate, your son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. So I pray that this would be, if biblical, seen to be so, and if Christian, would be the heartbeat of our life and of this congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a plural pronoun, we. You could personalize it, I, but this is for us as a congregation, and it's only going to be true for us, the we, if it's true of you and of me. So this church will be Christ-centered to the extent that the individuals in the church are Christ-centered. So why do we exist? We call this our vision statement, and in three words, it's glorify, treasure, spread. That is, glorify God, treasure Jesus Christ, spread lasting or eternal joy. So we exist to glorify God. The reason we don't put a period there is because every religious construct would agree with that. Our Buddhist, Hindu, Islamic, Mormon friends, neighbors would say that. Of course we exist to glorify God. In award ceremonies, pagan celebrities and athletes give all glory to God in their little acceptance speech of their trophy. So we want to be biblical about the God we're talking about. How do you do that? How is the God of Scripture glorified? What brings him joy and pleasure? What delights his heart? What rouses his innermost being to delight? From your little life and from mine, from this little church, we believe this is a biblical answer. We glorify God by doing something, valuing his Son supremely, treasuring Jesus Christ, cherishing him. Man found a treasure hidden in a field. From joy over it, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. That treasure was worth more than everything else he had. The lady who breaks the alabaster vial, pure nard, that perfume, that expensive ointment in that expensive container, is saying you and your death, she was preparing him for death, for burial, your death, your sacrifice is worth more than everything my family, I think that was a family heirloom, has ever owned. You're the treasure. So God is glorified a specific way. Treasuring his son. Loving Jesus supremely is the evidence you're a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you are one. That brings God glory. I could cite a whole bunch of passages right now. I trust that some are swirling in your heart and mind. Philippians 3, Galatians 2, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 12, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. We could keep going. To the degree that Christ is treasured, to that degree God is glorified. And we can remove ourselves from the equation for just a second and say that's also true of God himself. God values the reflection of his glory from the face of his Son, and he has done that forever. God delights in God, and God sees the perfect reflection of God in the face of His Son, Colossians 1. We can keep going. So how is God glorified? No other religion would say that. Only Christians say that. And we believe that's the heart of the Bible. So our vision statement is we exist for this purpose, to bring God glory. The way we're going to do that is, we believe biblically, valuing, treasuring, honoring, worshiping, cherishing His Son, and spreading His eternal joy. We think there's a consequence to holding Jesus in the place of highest honor. There is a reaction, cause and effect. If you value Jesus supremely, you cannot contain Him in yourself. He's too big. He's too wonderful. He's too glorious. He deserves the worship of more people. So if you treasure Him, you will commend Him. Evangelism is basically commending the one you cherish, talking about what you love. That's what evangelism is. Everybody evangelizes. Everybody talks about what they love. Christians love Jesus. Therefore, we seek to spread His lasting joy, eternal joy. So that's our vision. That's why we say we exist as a church. And this is just a prelude to having some members among us come up and tell us about opportunities of ways we can be involved in spreading lasting joy. Before I invite them up, so what? Like, catchy little slogan, great. Being able to support it with Bible verses, great. Demons have really good theology, right? Demons believe and tremble. Satan is all about the cross. He just doesn't treasure Jesus. So what? We don't want to just get our I's dotted and our T's crossed. We want to live in harmony with the work of the Holy Spirit. So how shall we live? We exist to glorify God by treasuring Jesus Christ and spreading His eternal joy. So how will we live? That's our mission statement. What will we seek to do, God helping us by His Spirit? Three words: guide, grow, go. It's really one thing, but it expresses itself, we believe, this way: unabashedly, unashamedly, no apology. Every person needs a love relationship with Jesus, period. Everybody needs faith in Christ. So the Lausanne Congress on World Mission that meets periodically every 7 to 10 years, I think, different places in the world, has come out with a statement in their last two gatherings, and they said, we care about all suffering. We, meaning Christians, especially eternal suffering. Like, we want to try to help all people best we can. But, to quote Paris Reedhead, we are not trying to put springs on people's wagon so they can ride more comfortably on their way to hell. We want to lead people to Jesus. That's what glorifying God by treasuring Jesus and spreading His joy looks like. We're seeking to lead people to faith in Jesus, guide people to Jesus, gospel our neighbors and the nations. That's what you're about to hear about. That's how we guide people to Jesus, with the gospel, the evangel. Evangelism is telling the evangel, the good news. Evangelism is just telling what God has done in Christ for our salvation, His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, reign, and return. He's the King. He's the Savior. So we gospel our neighbors and nations. And then we think there's a consequence to those saved people. That's us. God's not finished with us. When you come to Christ, here's another evidence that He is your treasure. You want to know all that can be known of Him. You want to enjoy all that can be enjoyed of Him. You want to live in communion with Him, fellowship with Him. So 1 John, Jesus' beloved disciple, would write, we have fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Or Paul to the Corinthians, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just Christianity 101. It's what being a Christian is, where Christ makes Christians and Christians want Christ. So we want to grow in biblical maturity. But we believe we do that together rather than just in a silo. And we need each other to help each other grow. So our vision: glorify, treasure, spread. our mission, guide, grow, go. We think there's a lot of other faithful ways to say it, but we think that's a faithful way to say the heart of the Christian faith. And as we grow together in biblical maturity, it just works backwards. The more you drink from the fountain of Christ's fullness, the more you want other people to drink. So you gospel your neighbors and seek to guide them to faith in Jesus. And then it just folds in on top of itself. So I've asked, I forget how many, but four or five people. If you're one of those people, would you just come on up here? And we're going to have you share in rapid fashion in this order. Jason Harrington. Jordan / Emily Bryan. You don't have to come up here, Emily and Brian. BJ. Nathan Sawyer. And Allie. Okay? Say it again. No, I'm going to put it up there.
All right. All right. I'm going to share briefly about World Relief. And so if you're not familiar, World Relief, and I'll go ahead and throw in Refugee Memphis, are two organizations here that help resettle refugees and their families who are coming from difficult contexts. The Kirilov family would be an example of that. And so they're helping those families and those individuals come here to the U.S. and then navigate the maze that is the governmental bureaucracy of trying to get here and live here. Help them find a place to live, get a job, driver's license, get all the tons of paperwork turned in correctly. So that's what they do. And they have a World Relief specifically has offices at Restoration Fellowship, which is where we used to meet. And so in 2 weeks, on Saturday, April 13th, they're having a community potluck from 4 to 6 p.m. And they're inviting refugee families, American families to come and just gather together, fellowship, get to know one another, build relationships. And so we've been invited to be a part of that if you would like to. I'm going to attempt to put that on the realm for you. Church Center. I'm probably not going to get it done. But if not, maybe I can find someone whose last name is Bailey to help me get it up there correctly. There is a link for you to RSVP, and so someone, probably Ben or someone else, will get it up there for us today. It's in 2 weeks, Saturday, April 13th, from 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay, Grill and Gospel, you've probably seen this if you have paid attention to Emily's announcements. And H4H is in parentheses behind that. Grill and Gospel, April 21. Here's the goal. You invite another church member to your house. And any unchurched or lost person that you also want to invite. And you don't have to grill, but feed them. And get to know them and build relationships. But doing evangelism in community. You don't have to do the hard sell with your friend, or you don't have to invite a church member who's going to come with the full court press, but build a relationship, talk about spiritual things, seek to commend Christ, invite them into this orbit of Jesus treasuring people. We're going to try to encourage as many people to do that on that date as possible. So we're going to figure out a way to put on Church Center some mechanism of finding out who's already claimed. Like if I've been invited to go to the tallies, then you can't have me. So we're going to try to figure out the draft system. And H for H is what we used to call hosting for holiness. And so we'd pick a Sunday and we'd say, let's do this. Let's host people in order with the prayer that eventually they become holy in Christ, Jesus followers. So it's the same idea. So Emily, Brian, clean that up a little bit. We talked about it at staff meeting, which is why I'm calling on them. I told them I would. Say something about that that makes it more clear. Do it. Okay. It'll show up on Church Center sometime this week. Be thinking about an unchurched family or friend, which, by the way, I'm going to take a risk here. Even if you're in the room, I love you enough to apologize publicly. Three or four households have visited here the last 2 or 3 weeks that have been invited by members of our church, and they keep coming back. It's precisely because something like this happened. So let's all be part of that joy. Okay, next. Nigeria. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. On May 18, I'll travel with Brent Wells and John Dillard. Brent Wells is pastor of Providence Baptist Church in Rome, Georgia. John's a faithful member, and I think he's probably a deacon of some sort there. Their church has adopted this June trip that's now in May, and so they are celebrities when we go there. They're absolutely loved by our brothers and sisters there. We'll be doing, of the 8 modules that we do is with Catalyst, we'll be doing module 5, which is hermeneutics, something which any one of you now could just as well ably teach after last year's study. And however, a thing to pray for is imagine teaching hermeneutics, but you cannot reference other resources. They can't get them. So they can't dial up a lexicon or a Bible dictionary or anything like that. They have their Bible and they have the Spirit, which is no hindrance, actually. I think we ought to be a little bit jealous of that, perhaps. So you can pray for that. We had mentioned a couple of months ago our dear brother Jonathan, who is, and thank you so much for praying and being Godward with encouragement for he and his family. We hope to meet with his widow and whatever family we're able to get to. You can also pray for a brother Gaius, one of the most happy people you'll ever meet. I don't know if I've ever met an unhappy Nigerian, but Gaius is especially so. About 3 weeks ago, his wife died. She was 45, a quick illness. And when I reached out to Gaius about that, just to let him know we were praying for him, he was like, I can't wait to see you. So I would want to say, keep praying for Jonathan's family and Gaius. However, they handle death a lot better than we do. So maybe pray than I do. So maybe pray for me to be more like them. And the last solicitation, where we have the training, often there's a school attached. It's typically an Equa church building, and there's an Equa school. It's a primary school, so elementary age kids. And the last time we were there, I did put a picture on Church Center. I don't know if that ever was a soccer ball. It was something kickable and was moved that we ought to get them some soccer balls. And they didn't hate it. They loved it. Maybe they might love a round ball a little bit more. So I've got a suitcase of about 20 so far. There's room for more. So after you've supported everything else here, and you got an old flat soccer ball in your garage underneath the thing, then bring it to church, happy to take it and stuff it in that bag. Thanks.
In a couple months, 11 of us from GC will be traveling to Ndola, Zambia. So I'm going to try to remember and not forget anybody. So Jaden and myself, two, Jim and Adele, then Drew, Lily, and Amanda Kaiser, Lydia Maxwell, Caitlin Baker, MC Schweers, and Annalise Smith. So I lost count after 3. So I hope that was 11, and I hope I didn't forget anybody of that. But this is the largest group that we've ever sent to Zambia. This will be the third time that we've sent a group from our church to travel there. There will be a number of things that we'll be connected with while in Zambia. We'll have the opportunity to worship at George Baptist Church. It's a church that was planted in the village of George. This church also meets at the school. So we'll be doing ministry as well with Bethlehem Christian Academy. It is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And so BCA has sponsors all around the world that give money that allows students to be able to get a Christ-centered education, to be able to get a uniform, and to be able to get one nourishable meal each day. And some of the things that they not only in providing this education, but they help them to learn various skills, life skills. So that's part of their projects, is growing vegetables that'll grow in that particular region and doing other things to help them as they grow up to be able to get jobs and be able to provide for themselves. They also have clean water by the school. They've dug water wells, and what they do for the village is they allow the village to come. Certain hours of the day, anybody in the village can come, and they can get clean water for their home. So we'll have the opportunity to do a little bit of village evangelism. So the group will do that. Jim and myself will do some training with local pastors. Amanda Kaiser is going to do some training also with some of the other ladies with women's ministry. And then everybody will be involved in vacation Bible school type things along with discipleship and such. So pray for us. We're thankful. It's exciting, really exciting that this larger group is going to be going in a couple of months. And I love what the Lord is doing among us. So I wasn't asked to say these other things too, but I got the mic, so I'm just going to go ahead and take advantage of that privilege right now. And I'll step over here. Casey Kanza wants to come commandeer it. But you may remember John Freiberg. He's a missionary, just recently planted a church in Indonesia. We saw his video this past Christmas. We're working with him. He and his family are going to be here for one day. They're traveling through here on May the 1st. We're hoping to send a team sometime later this year. I don't know if it's too late for that, but we're hoping to send a team to Indonesia for some ministry as well. So continue to pray for that opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Last but not least, we saved this one for last because it's an ongoing opportunity. So we've had April, May, July, and now we have all the time.
Hey, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Send Relief. Our church has partnered with Send Relief, and I'm thankful to the pastors for that. We're really grateful. Kathy and I have been going to a couple of meetings that they have, some trainings, and she and I are just both full of joy every time we leave those meetings. We're also overwhelmed, and the reason we're overwhelmed is a good reason. They're just doing so many good things that it's overwhelming for us to think about sometimes, but when you look out into the city of Memphis and think about physical needs and spiritual needs, there's so many needs that it can really be overwhelming. But the idea that they have is really great. What they're trying to do is connect as many church partners as they can, gather the resources that those churches have readily available, services they provide, items they provide, anything that they, you know, that they have that they're good at. They keep a big spreadsheet of all those things, and you guys know I've asked for, I did a little inventory on Church Center just to kind of gather up, you know, what are some things that we might could add to their list. And then when people come from any of their partnering churches or when people come to Send Relief directly and have a need, then they have a database full of, well, here's where I can start. And the great thing about that is they aren't just concerned about the physical need. Their main goal is discipleship, is the end goal. So they want to connect people to that church that can provide that need and know that they're going to be have some sort of a connection to a church and maybe even some ongoing discipleship there. So it's the best I've ever seen as far as a ministry that I've seen that actually takes into account the whole city, and it's not just one person trying to do everything or one church trying to do everything, but all the churches together trying to work together to do something. So upcoming opportunities are they do an ongoing ministry called Doors of Hope. That's why I brought the sheet, because I knew I would forget them. They're catchy. Doors of Hope. Doors of Hope is once a month they meet and they go deliver household items and cleaning items to transitional housing. And the transitional housing is people who have struggled with homelessness but are transitioning into just finding their own place. But in the meantime, there's a transitional spot for them. And they basically have their own room but some shared spaces as well. And so what this ministry does is they gather items, put the items together in little baskets, deliver them once a month. And I know that just this past week, Miss Kathy and Miss Debbie were able to go and be a part of that. And I talked to Sonia this week, and she was so encouraged. And she just said that it was really great There were so many great conversations had. So that's a really great opportunity. If you have one, I think it's on a Thursday mornings once a month. And then the other ministry is Loads of Compassion. And it is similar to that in that it's once a month. And they also give out items, but it's for people get picked up at the hospitality hub, homeless neighbors. They're transported to a laundry facility, and volunteers are there to help them do laundry. They have supplies there for them to do the laundry, but then they get to sit and talk with them while their laundry's being done. And so it's an opportunity to hear people's stories and maybe even share the gospel. So those two ministries are ongoing, and we know that a lot of us work or go to school during the week, and that's when most of these opportunities are to serve, so that's hard. But what Kathy and I have thought is even a few people can go and volunteer, but for the most part, our contribution to those ministries is going to be to collect items, because ongoing, they're going to be delivering these items every month. So we're just going to put out there on the church center what we're collecting this month, one or two items, you know, pick up an extra dish soap or an extra laundry detergent or something like that. So we're going to do that. That's going to be a way to keep us connected to those ministries. Obviously, you're welcome to volunteer for those if you ever want to. Come and talk to one of us. They especially need men for the Loads of Compassion, because most of the people that participate in that are men. Most of the people served are men. So I know Ronnie's planning to go and do that once a month if any of you other men are available to do that. And aside from that, I'll just say we're going to put out on Church Center after the monthly meeting each month an update, and that don't be overwhelmed by it, but just be thankful that the community is being served in so many ways. And then if you want to be added to our prayer email, you can let me or Miss Kathy know, and we'll add you to that email. And it's just a little bit extra from that meeting, requests that were made from the various ministries. So that's all.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies. So in review, 2 weeks from now, you can go meet people that don't speak your language but live in your city and may not know how to get to the grocery store at the World Relief Potluck. You should be encouraged to be thinking prayerfully about who to invite to your home or what other member to invite to your home, so that you can collectively work together to build a gospel-centered relationship with some of our members' unchurched friends. Do give some good kickable items to BJ for the Nigeria trip, but be praying for these bereaved brothers and sisters, a widow and a widower, I believe was the second one. Yeah. And BJ and this team are going to have an opportunity to extend Christ's compassion through us, from us, through them. Be praying for that trip. And then, of course, our 11-person Zambia team. What a joy. And potentially an Indonesia team this fall. And then right here in our backyard, the Send Relief Ministry. All these things are going on Church Center. But these are some ways that we can be about what we say we exist for. Spreading lasting joy. That's why we exist. And if you treasure Jesus, that's a necessary consequence, an unavoidable aftermath of dipping the thimble of our life into the heart of the King, is you want other people to swim in that sweet ocean. So be praying about these opportunities or other ideas you have. We are not trying to come up with all the ways that our church serves. We trust that's going to come through you. So if there are other ways that our church can be involved in good gospel ministry, then we'd love to hear what's on your heart. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we do lift up to you the people represented behind the words I'm about to say, the eternal souls that are going to be at this World Relief Potluck or in our own homes around our kitchen table on April 21 or in other times, for the precious brothers and sisters in Nigeria, those who are going to be studying hermeneutics. Thank you that they have your word and your spirit. Use our brothers to help equip them further in their digesting your word faithfully, preaching it faithfully. Thank you, God, for the faith family over in Zambia, George Baptist Church and BCA Ministry and all the precious ones, kids and adults that are connected. Use our team to be a means of your grace to them. And for all these opportunities in our city, 1.5 million or so people, very few who have a saving relationship with Christ. Youth Send Relief, our church, other churches, to be getting the gospel to our neighbors and doing so even through deeds of kindness, washing laundry, and helping people transition from homelessness to stability. Help us, Lord, to be useful in your hand. Fill us with your spirit and boldness so that we unashamedly commend Christ with gospel love. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.